This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We've asked some of our critics to look back on 1995. In the world of television, every new year brings not only new shows, but new channels. Our TV critic David Bianculli has tried to make sense of some of the changes 1995 brought to television.
David, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
What are some of your picks for the best shows of 1995?
Well, it's easy because there weren't many. American Gothic, I guess, of the ones that came in the new season, was my absolute favorite because it surprised me every single week with what it was trying to do. It was just so weird and strange. Murder One, I really liked the concept of, but there were things I didn't like about it as well, including the stupid subplots that they kept because they figured that audiences wouldn't stay tuned every week just with the main murder. Every time they went off on one of those tangents, I got annoyed. Like, go back to the main case, because they weren't written as well and they just slowed things down.
What about shows that have been on a while that used to be really good and are now deteriorating?
You know, it's funny because Picket Fences was always one of my absolute favorite shows. David E. Kelley wrote it brilliantly. Then he left and quit writing it. And the new producers, or the promoted producers, decided to get away from all of the issue thoughtful stuff and really delve into the lives of these characters in this town. And they delved into the wrong lives. They all did things that I don't think that David Kelley would have them do. I wouldn't have had them do. And most fans that I've talked to or had letters from about Picket Fences just say, what has happened to this show this year? Flip side, Seinfeld has really gotten good again, where it had deteriorated. You know, the soup Nazi episode is one of the best of all time for Seinfeld.
It seems to me every time I put on the TV, there's a bunch of people in their 20s or 30s sitting around talking.
Yes, yes.
What is it, Friends or Seinfeld that's motivating all of this?
Well, Seinfeld motivated Friends. It's sort of like the biblical begat. You know, Seinfeld's begat Friends, and Friends begat just about every sitcom that's on the tube. And there's some time slot hits like, you know, Caroline in the City and The Single Guy, which are in the top 10, top 15, purely because of where they are on NBC's powerful schedule. But network programmers are going to say, oh, look, there is still an appetite for these kinds of shows, so we're not quite through with these, even though most of them failed.
Do you like Friends? Do you think it deserves the incredible success it has?
I like the way it's written. I like the performers. I have no problem with Friends. I don't think that it's, it is an overrated show because it's just a sitcom, and it's not as brilliant as everybody's making it out to be, but I enjoy watching it.
We're looking back on the year on television with Fresh Air TV critic David Bianculli. I guess like the really big event on television this year was the O.J. Simpson trial.
Yeah.
What was the lesson of the O.J. trial that the networks took away?
They took away, I guess, two lessons. One that I don't like is that they could do the same sort of reporting as the tabloids or TV tabloids and viewers would respond. In a lot of those stories, they were driven by the hard copies and the National Enquirer kind of leads and brought up. And it seemed like once it was reported anywhere in the O.J. story, it was fair game to come out. There was it was really overkill journalistically in that sense, and we've sort of settled a little lower in what we accept as journalistic standards. That's the bad thing. I think the good thing is that tangentially, they had to staff so many people on this story that rather than let them go when it was through, the bureaus are actually doing different kinds of news again. I mean, O.J. Simpson was such an incredible part of the news whole every day that with it gone, it's almost refreshing to watch a newscast. And, sidelight, the O.J. Simpson story on Fox was one of those awful quickie telemovies that finally drove a nail in the quickie telemovies, along with the two Roseannes and the couple of Madonnas. You know, after just a few years ago, there were three Amy Fishers. I think we're sort of through with that now for a while.
The whole communications industry seems to be realigning and reshaping itself. This is happening in television. There's a bunch of mergers that have been recently announced. Why don't you run through what the mergers are?
Oh, man. Let me see. Okay, we got Group W and CBS. I'm doing this off the top. We got Disney and ABC. We've got NBC, which is working with Bill Gates and Microsoft now.
What's behind these mergers?
Panic for the 21st century. And it's the same thing that's driving these 24-hour news station ideas that NBC and ABC has already announced, and CBS undoubtedly will, to rival Ted Turner with cable 24 hours somewhere. There's two reasons. One is that there's a sudden awareness that rather than just making broadcasting the only business and making it United States broadcasting, it's a global war now. And that you've got to get on, you know, satellites in Asia and in England and all of these places and provide something. So there's this synergy going on, and everybody wants to link with everybody else so that they all have a dance to go to in the 21st century. And my particular theory about this, which may be ridiculous, is that news and sports are the only things that networks will be able to deliver or have to deliver in real time that people will still want no matter how it's delivered. In about 10, 15 years, I think that those of us, you know, who want to have it could like have the networks downloaded once a week, have all your entertainment shows, and you could watch them when you want to. They'd probably still have commercials in them that you'd have to fast forward through, but you could pick what you wanted to watch when you wanted to watch it, but you can't do that with news and you can't do that with sports. So that's the software that's really going to be valuable.
What has succeeded on cable this year that might have an effect on the direction cable heads in, and also what's failed on cable that might also have an effect?
The successes on cable are the things that either the networks are not providing or are not providing well. Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher is a major surprise success on Comedy Central. I mean, it doesn't really belong on that network. It could go just about anywhere. And the buzz is that it may end up after Ted Koppel on ABC after Nightline. And that would be a great mix. But here's a talk show where, unlike most of the ones that are on television, nobody's plugging anything. There's specific topics, and they're actually talking about real issues. And you get to see people from different walks of life, not just the same old celebrities, and having to give and then defend positions. So that's a neat show. And then you have Larry Sanders doing brilliant comedy of the stuff that I fear the networks will never be able to provide just because it's so raw, it's so adult, it's so real, and it hurts so many feelings. But that sort of stuff is very important to those franchises.
And Nick at Night has been very successful,
yes,
hasn't it?
Yes, I love... Reruns. Yeah, and they're starting a new network in 96. This is probably the early 96 best thing. They're going to, except that then you've got to find out if it's ever going to be shown on your cable system. But a new 24-hour Nick network called Television Land for more or less adults and teens. It's just, you know, because what Nick does so beautifully, in the daytime it starts you off as a toddler. Every few hours the shows get a little bit older, gets you up to Nick at Night and keeps you there, and SNCC is a wonderful thing on Saturdays. Now you've got a whole other network where they're going to move Hill Street. They're going to take all these shows, you know, old variety shows, I think like Sonny and Cher are going to be on there. Just a whole weird old viewing experience carrying on the Nick at Night thing. Now, I have a satellite dish that will get it immediately, and I'm pretty sure I'm just going to be rolling tape, you know, and that satellite dish is going to be dedicated to that network. I mean, I love television's history. And I think that while the networks aren't even acknowledging what it has or what it had, cable, again, is leading the way.
Well, David, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks a lot.
And I wish you a very happy New Year.
You too.
David Bianculli is TV critic for Fresh Air and the New York Daily News. This is Fresh Air.